The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning, Glory America. Bonjour, hi, Kennedy. Hugh Hewitt live from Studio North. Hiding out in my studio as Genghis Kate remains abroad in the land. She is something else. Anyway, Merrick Garland took to the microphone for 4.5 minutes. Let's start the show by giving Merrick Garland his say. The Attorney General of the United States explaining why an unprecedented raid on Mar-a-Lago had to happen.
Good afternoon. Since I became Attorney General, I have made clear that the Department of Justice will speak through its court filings and its work. Just now, the Justice Department has filed a motion in the Southern District of Florida to unseal a search warrant and property receipt relating to a court-approved search that the FBI conducted earlier this week. That search was of premises located in Florida belonging to the former president. The department did not make any public statements on the day of the search. The former president publicly confirmed the search that evening, as is his right. Copies of both the warrant and the FBI property receipt were provided on the day of the search to the former president's counsel, who was on site during the search. The search warrant was authorized by a federal court upon the required finding of probable cause. The property receipt is a document that federal law requires law enforcement agents to leave with the property owner. The department filed the motion to make public the warrant and receipt in light of the former president's public confirmation of the search, the surrounding circumstances, and the substantial public interest in this matter. Faithful adherence to the rule of law is the bedrock principle of the Justice Department and of our democracy. Upholding the rule of law means applying the law evenly, without fear or favor. Under my watch, that is precisely what the Justice Department is doing. All Americans are entitled to the even-handed application of the law, to due process of the law, and to the presumption of innocence. Much of our work is by necessity conducted out of the public eye. We do that to protect the constitutional rights of all Americans and to protect the integrity of our investigations. Federal law, longstanding department rules, and our ethical obligations prevent me from providing further details as to the basis of the search at this time.
Right there, you know those ethical rules? The former president, by the way, late last night said he will not oppose the immediate release of the warrant. I hope they give the underlying affidavit. That's not clear from the statement. But late last night, remember those ethical rules? We don't comment. Classified documents relating to nuclear weapons were among the FBI agents, the items the FBI agents sought in a search, according to that. Got that? The Washington Post, Mr. Sources Say, told the Washington Post last night that classified documents relating to the nuclear weapons were among the items the FBI agents sought in a search at Mar-a-Lago. John Lovitz will tell you what we think about that.
Yeah, that's it, ticket.
Yeah, nuclear weapon document. That's the ticket. So they're spinning desperately. You know why? Because George Will wrote a column, which I'll read for you a little bit later. But first, I want you to hear Michael Mukasey, former Attorney General of the United States, who was on yesterday on with Martha McCallum, talking about this raid, cut number 5.
Well, there were two words that leaped out at me from his presentation. The words, when possible. He said, when possible, we try to use less intrusive methods, measures. What was it that made it impossible to do it in this case? That doesn't require disclosure of what was in the affidavit. It simply requires a statement of what it was that made it impossible. He didn't tell us. And that is a large gap. You don't have to disclose what else was in the affidavit in order to disclose how come they had to do it this way.
So what does that tell you? I mean, it would suggest that they felt that they weren't going to get cooperation, right?
Okay, but they could move to compel compliance with a subpoena.
Mm-hmm.
There were other measures that they could have served another subpoena or moved to compel compliance. There was apparently something that made it compulsory, in their view, for agents to be on site and to be taking the documents themselves. And as you pointed out before, there is a rule that says that if you're searching for evidence of one crime and you find evidence of another, then you're permitted to use that evidence. And it's hard to escape the belief that at least somebody hoped that there would be evidence of another crime, i.e. something relating to January 6th. And unfortunately, although we were told certainly that the affidavit established probable cause to search for missing documents, we already knew that.
Yeah.
The question is whether people at the Justice Department entertained that hope and whether they had a reason for doing it.
Let me ask you a couple of other things about surrounding events to this, because during that gap period, we saw the apprehension of Jeffrey Clark's cell phone. We saw the interaction with Attorney Eastman as well. Both advisors during the period post-election who were advising the former president on what means were available to him prior to January 6th. Also, you have Scott Perry, Congressman Scott Perry's phone that was also taken by law enforcement. What do you make of those other law enforcement issues with regard to this? Do they relate?
Well, as to the first, the searches of Eastman and Clark, we were told that those were simply matters that were undertaken to help the Inspector General conduct an investigation of Mr. Clark. Mr. Eastman, of course, was not an employee of the Justice Department at any relevant time during that period. The Inspector General is not a law enforcement agent. He has no authority to get a search warrant. So that was a fib at best. And we were told basically not to worry our pretty little heads about it, that it's simply related to the IG investigation. I and many others do not believe that. Then, as you point out, after the search at Mar-a-Lago, Scott Perry, a congressman from Pennsylvania who was active in trying to get the election overturned, had his telephone confiscated under a warrant. The agents approached him while he was on vacation and took his phone. Again, that relates to January 6th. So there's this flurry of activity. In addition, the Justice Department served grand jury subpoenas on White House counsel Pat Cipollone, and I believe on Pat Philbin as well, Deputy White House Counsel, to testify in front of a grand jury, again relating to January 6th. So there's this flurry of activity relating to January 6th, and then we're told that this other investigation had absolutely nothing to do with January 6th. That's difficult, and yet they put 30 FBI agents on it. To go in and seize documents that presumably everybody knew was there.
Yeah.
All right. So you get Mukasey is just not buying any of this. Former Attorney General Mukasey is a very, very smart guy. He's just not buying any of this. Late last night, former President Trump said on his social media account, True Social, that he would not oppose the release of court documents. I'm hopeful that that includes the affidavit. We will learn more. This Mr. Sources Say stuff about classified documents related to nuclear weapons, that could be true. It also is not, it's beside the point to what Mukasey responded to. Experts in classified information said the unusual search underscores the deep concern among government officials about the type of information that could be located at Trump's Mar-a-Lago club. Again, it's beside the point. Show us what's there. I also want to tell you that a deranged man tried to attack the FBI yesterday. He was shot and killed last night in a rural area of Wilmington, Ohio. And of course, we condemn any act of violence against the Bureau. I think I said like 30 times yesterday, the Bureau are keeping us safe every single day. 95% of the Bureau is out there on the front line of organized crime and cartel stopping and international espionage. They're protecting Bolton and everyone else who's threatened by the Iranian rogue regime. They're trying to keep the Chinese Communist Party from picking our pocket and stealing everything that we've got while they're meanwhile planting bugs in our system. We need the FBI on the wall. We really do. And we absolutely need the Department of Justice. The political appointees behind this have got to be held accountable, because the Department of Justice and the upper reaches of the FBI have gone off the rails. And when the attorney general said we wanted to do this quietly, in what universe of the multiverse was this ever going to be done quietly? And what part of legacy media thinks that's legit to argue we wanted to do this quietly? This is a continuation of what began in 2015, the Get Trump Analyst TV series. It's in its eighth season now, and it's never going to end until he dies, and it's not going to end afterwards. They're going to be opening his safe with Geraldo in 30 years. Stay tuned, America. I'll be right back on the Friday edition of the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. Sonny Bunch is the official movie critic of the Hugh Hewitt Show. He is the co-host of Across the Movie Aisle podcast and the host of The Bulwark Goes to the Movies. And Sonny, I've got five grandchildren, 10 and under, surrounding me up at the annex to Studio North. And so I won't see a movie for an adult for probably another month. So you have to tell me what's out there. I don't even have any idea what's out there.
Well, Hugh, it's I know this is a rough time of the year for you because
yes, it
let me
is.
Tell you what's in theaters right now and what will be in theaters for the next 2 months or so until the next big comic book movie comes out. Horror movies. There's a lot of cheap horror movies hitting theaters over the next couple months here. It's the doldrums of summer. You know, normally a rough time in theaters anyway, but, you know, we're still in kind of the post-COVID era when studios are trying to get product ready, working through a production backlog, et cetera. So it's going to be a tough couple weeks for you. Look, there's a movie that I don't know that you will necessarily think is a great movie for you to go see, but I got to recommend it to you, called Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Okay.
I can remember it at least.
It's a horror movie from A24, the indie studio. And it is about a bunch of Gen Z type kids and one older 40 something who get locked in a mansion, during a hurricane. They gather at a hurricane for a hurricane party. The power goes out and they are playing a game called Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
Sonny, this is a hard sell, buddy. This is a hard sell. Go ahead.
Let me tell you, I have not seen a movie ever that has as ably picked apart the sensibilities and sensitivities of Gen Z as this movie does. I mean, it is a just demolition of that whole generation's tics.
Oh, you're tempting me.
Attempts to claim victimhood. And I mean, it's really in the various class struggles that are going on between them. I really strongly recommend it. And it's going to be, look, it's a hard sell for you anyway, because, again, a horror movie. But most of the violence takes place off screen. You know, there's a little bit of violence on screen, but there's some tension, you know, camera angles not showing you everything that's going on. But Hugh, I really think you would enjoy it just for
all me. Right. I want to tell the Steelers fans, because I looked it up myself. Gen Z are people born mid to late 1990s up through the early 2010s. So that's who we're talking about. So they're roughly, you know, 22 30.
It's older. It's the first cohort of Gen Z. These kids are supposed to be, you know, between 20 and 25, more or less. I think you would really, as somebody who spends a lot of time on the internet, you spend a lot of time hearing people talking about being triggered and, you know, looking for safe spaces, that sort of thing. This movie deftly skewers all of that, in ways that are, again, very amusing and I think slightly profound, at least as far as something like this can go. I mean, it's not, you know, this is not high art or anything, but it is very entertaining.
Who is the director of this, and do they have a a track record of entertaining people like me who are horror skeptical.
The director is a Dutch woman named Helena. I'm going to botch her last name, but Helena Rein, something like that. And look, she's not a regular director. She's only made a couple movies. Again, this is an indie film. It's the biggest star in it is the guy from SNL, Pete Davidson. You know, the big, tall, lanky guy.
Oh yeah, he's the older guy then.
Yeah, he's not. There's an even older guy. There's a guy named an actor named Lee Pace who people will maybe remember from the Hobbit movies. He's been in some other stuff. But he's the older, he's the 40 something. So again, the setup here, you have, 5 20 something girls who are in this, mansion that is owned by Pete Davidson's parents. The Lee Pace character is a guy that one of the girls met on Tinder. I won't spoil anything by saying, you know, who dies or who the first is to die, but what, there's a body that shows up. And they're trying to figure out who the killer is, and things go Lord of the Flies very quickly. They all turn on each other. They all start accusing each other of, you know, having privilege and being, you know, not truly oppressed like the other one. Again, you got to watch it. I don't want to spoil it. I think you will, even as a non-horror person, Hugh. And I know there are a lot of non-horror people in the audience.
Well, I've been teaching Gen Zs for a decade, so I know their tics. I know there are mannerisms, so that would be interesting to me.
I think you'll enjoy it, Hugh. I think you might dig it. It's a long shot. I might get a failure to warn warning here. You might just fire me altogether after watching it. But I really
not after all these credibly accounted for recommendations over all these years, Sonny Bunch. But okay. Did you review it across the movie aisle or in the Bulwark Goes to the Movies? Could I listen to you talk about it?
I think we're gonna talk about it on Across the Movie Aisle in a couple weeks. I reviewed it on the Bulwark website. I'll tweet it out later today when I wake up properly. I mean, look, this is just one of many horror movies that are coming out in theaters over the next couple months.
All right. Now, Sonny, I want to do a rare thing. I want to ask for your opinion as a film critic of a breaking news event. Can I do that?
Sure.
Yesterday, Merrick Garland said he wanted to do The Raid quietly. He said they're going to move the admission of the documents. And President Trump said he has no objection. Minutes ago, President Trump posted on Truth Social, nuclear weapons issue is a hoax. That's in response to the Washington Post story saying that sources say that nuclear weapon material was taken from Mar-a-Lago. Just like Russia, Russia, Russia was a hoax. Two impeachments were a hoax. The Mueller investigation was a hoax and much more. Some sleazy people involved. Why wouldn't the FBI allow the inspection of areas of Mar-a-Lago with our lawyers or others present? Made them wait outside in the heat, wouldn't let them get close, said absolutely not. Planting information, anyone? Reminds me of the Christopher Steele dossier. So, Sonny, we have a movie unfolding. We have a movie unfolding here. What do you think of the optics? You're a film critic. The optics of Merrick Garland, the DOJ, the search, they want to do it quietly, the president blowing the whistle, the press conference, and now that. What do you make of all the optics?
I don't really know. The question is, it all depends on what they actually found and what the warrant actually shows. I think the optics of it are, look, it's not like they showed up there with a camera crew and were kicking down doors and throwing people out, right? I mean, we found out about all this more or less after it had happened, right? It's not like,
no, during it, the president tweeted it out. And I've responded to people. You know, Merrick Garland said we wanted to do it quietly. There's no universe in the multiverse in which this would have been done quietly.
Well, I mean, they did do it quietly again, in the sense that it's not like there was a live CNN crew out there, you know, watching it all go down.
Well, they did get helicopters up in the air. They did get the pictures of the red lights. George Will blasted the deal. George Will is no friend of Donald Trump. I mean, he could write for the Bulwark. On Donald Trump. But he just cannot believe the DOJ and the FBI did this at this point. He just cannot believe it. I'm just wondering whether you think the optics of this are cutting one way or the other.
I'm not, It's hard to discuss the optics of this without knowing all the facts. I mean, if the government did spend a year trying to get all of these documents back and was stonewalled by Trump, and, you know, there was, in fact, serious secret stuff that was...
Oh, you want to know the end, though. I'm asking you as a film critic. I'm not asking for a dispassionate assessment of what's going on.
Yeah, but
you know what you know.
I don't think it's appropriate to look at this as a film critic because it's not a movie. It's real life.
Oh, it is a movie.
There's no
Everything
point.
About Trump's a movie. It's all the... This is the Get Trump. Remember Get Shorty? This is Get Trump. And it's a movie in the minds of, as George Will said, 75 million people voted for him for president 2 years ago. So in the minds of 75 million people or a large part, it's a movie. And that's all it is. I mean, unfortunately, it's a horror movie in the case of the disturbed guy in Cincinnati who tried to kill FBI agents yesterday. But it is a movie. That's what I don't think Merrick Garland understands, is that our optical world, everything's a movie.
Well, this is one good reason not to elect reality stars as the president of the United States, is because everything devolves into dumb image pushing in a way that probably is not helpful for the country. I mean, look, the optics of it are the optics of it. Again, you say that this couldn't possibly have been done quietly, but it was done pretty quietly. I mean, the only reason people started tweeting about it, I don't know. I have a problem getting too worked up about the optics of this, because the optics don't really matter. To me, I mean, it just matters on
read George Will today in the Post. Read George Will in the Post. You write for the Post. You know that George Will is
sure,
not
George
quite
Will
a never
great.
Trumper.
I kind of agree with George Will in the sense that for something like this to happen, there have to have been either a long string of refusals by the president to return the material that he's supposed to return by law, or B, there has to be something very, very, very serious in them. Again, like the nuclear, you know, whatever, you know, maybe he's running or I don't know what he would be doing with nuclear documents. Maybe running around showing them to.
I think that's Mr. Sources say everything about the president is a nuclear document. You know, there's a conclusion in Kissinger's new book, Leadership, the concluding chapter. Do a Washington read in a bookstore, Sonny. Of Kissinger's new book, Leadership, about the age of image we've entered into. The age of literacy replaced the age of epic poetry and memorization. Literacy lasted from the Enlightenment until about 25 years ago. Now we're in the age of image. And the age of image involves no reading and no serious thinking at all. Kissinger is really quite the pessimist at the end of this book. He's 99 years old. Maybe you're entitled to be a pessimist at 99. But I think image does matter, and I think film critics have more to say about the era of Trump than almost anybody else, because it's all about image.
Well, Jim Posnawazak, I can never pronounce his last name, wrote a good book about this he's the New York Times TV critic, and he wrote about essentially how there's an audience of one, and it's Donald Trump, and like the idea of how to, you know, get to him and talk to him and appeal to him through TV, which I think is true. And I do think that, look, we live in an era of memes, right? The primary form of communication online is the image with text that conveys a short point that usually is backing up what you want to say and does it in a funny and snarky way.
This is what I think. It's the declaratory sentence era. Sonny Bunch, I declare that I will maybe go see this movie because of your very, I don't know, kind of tantalizing description of it. Sonny Bunch on Twitter, across the movie aisle, and the bulwark goes to the movie. Thank you, Sonny. Stay tuned. I want to remind you that our sponsor is andrewandtodd.com. They're with Sierra Pacific. They lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-888-1172. Joined now by the poet laureate of the UHO, Tarzana Joe. Hello, Joe.
know, there are times when I'm so grateful that I have this national platform, because there are some things I really want everyone to know. The best folks that I've ever met, I'm sure that you can guess, are the noble men and women working for the IRS. You say we have too many, but I wish there were more of them. And if I had a daughter, I hope she'd marry four of them. They're kind and sweet, generous, loyal, just like Lassie. I don't think it's right when you compare them to the Stasi. Of course, the code is complex. It's filled with many minds. But letters from the IRS are just like Valentine's. You're welcome in Tarzana. But I haven't got much dough. If I make $400,000, I'll be sure to let you know. The other group that's jolly good, which no one can deny, are all the special agents working for the FBI. Everyone I've met has been a shaker or a mover, in the great tradition of the late J. Edgar Hoover. Come and see me anytime. I'll open all the locks. Nothing in my house compares to Sandy Berger socks. The moral of my story, which is how good poems end, life is pretty rosy when the deep state is your friend. And I hope you can repeat that several times so that everybody knows just how I feel.
What's the title, Joe?
You've got a friend in me.
You know, we've got a lot of IRS folks listening, a lot of bureau folks listening. I want to assure them that actually Joe does love them and that they don't need to go to.
That's clear. Isn't it clear?
You know, I just want to assure them that Joe's got nothing to hide and Joe is actually on your side. He's just a poet who needs to know it for the audience.
My wife said at the fourth stanza, she said, well, the knock on the door will come.
That letter's coming. No, actually, they don't work that way. Really? Yeah. Kind of. Sort of. Maybe. Will that be over at TarzanaJoe.com?
Of course it will.
Look, if you're a bureau agent or you're an IRS revenuer, as Snuffy Smith used to say, and you want a poem, Joe will work for you. Probably at a reduced rate, though that's illegal. TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com, right?
That's right.
TarzanaJoe. Have you done a poem for a bureau special agent or an IRSer?
Not to my knowledge. I did write a love poem for a three-star general once.
Well, there you go. Next, the Bureau would have fun. Someone ought to commission you, and they'll be able to get a bug into your poetry. They'll be able to debug your poetry thing if you get them on your side. I'm trying to say that Tarzana Joe is hacked more often than a bad episode of I Spy. And I think maybe the Bureau can help you, Joe.
I need all the help I can get, clearly.
Tarzana Joe at Reagan.com. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Hugh.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.